Our focus is yours. Yours is ours. As our minds are together in one accord, to behold Jesus Christ, your Son, in the splendor and the beauty of his holiness, in the awesomeness of his work, and to see ourselves as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright, 2 Corinthians 1:20, we'll start from 18. We're still on in the Spirit by the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 18. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yes and no, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Philbanus and Timotheus, was not yes and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. Verse 22, who hath sealed also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Beautiful. So we have made some definitions. We went into definition of the word earnest, which is the word araban, which means value, or say it's a commercial exchange. Where you guarantee. And then we also said the word promise, which is what God did, epagelia. Epagelia simply means something, a commitment that you made. In other words, you make a commitment to do something. And so, and we said that's the Old Testament, where God, where you hear the promises of God, it refers to the Old Testament, Romans 1 and 2, Romans 1, verse 1 and 2, pardon me. That's the promises of God. That's where you have God's promises made. Then we have the word seal. The word seal is the word sphragizo, from the word sphragis. We've already done this study before. Now I'm just going over it again. Where it implies where you have a proof of ownership. That it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. And all that, you know, authenticates our relationship with God, that we are not just objects of salvation. Or we're not just saved people, we're actually his own. I mean, we bear his signature. Oftentimes, if you put your signature on something that's wrong, and then you are going to bear responsibility for it. So we become his own by the virtue of that. And so we said all that. And then we said the message is Christ, that is the Son of God preached, is the message. He's the word, the Logos is the message that was preached. And then we also concluded that obviously what Paul put together here is a new creation in Christ. Now go to John 3. I'm just summarizing so we can get on business. John 3, verse 3. The question was, no man doeth this miracles except God be with him. That's what Nicodemus said. And Jesus in verse 3 says that God, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, and no thing jenaho, which means to be born from above, not twice, okay? He cannot see the kingdom of God. Then he asks a question in 4. And then Jesus says in 5, except a man is born of the water, which refers to the Spirit, not the water and the Spirit, two things, no. The water refers to the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. But very vitally is verse 6. And I told you that capital letters have no meaning, all right? They don't make a distinction to you. Because you have capital letter or you have Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. You know, it's context that lets you know the personality being discussed. Now, John 3, 6, he says, that which is born of the flesh, is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit, is Spirit. Okay, so let's do something intelligent. So, of the Spirit is what? Come on. I didn't mention of, born. So, of the Spirit is what? Spirit. So, in other words, he's saying to you, he's not talking about capital letters there. He just said, just like you can have capital letter flesh, big capital letter flesh, then small capital letter flesh. It's just flesh is flesh. So, that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. Because you can't use genaho if the parent and the child are not alive. Alright, so that which is born of the flesh, his flesh. Remove the capital letters, it has no meaning in there. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, his Spirit. That's what it is. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Okay, so it says, Be born again. So when it says be born again, be born from above, it means outside the flesh. When it says above, that means outside of something. So outside of the flesh, which is the spirit. So he has two things he describes there, the flesh and the spirit. The flesh and the spirit. And both of them are spiritual natures. Both of them are spiritual natures. So the spirit, a particular, the spirit is spirit, okay? So, in Romans chapter 8 verse 14, where the same explanation was made by Paul, Romans chapter 8 verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now you mustn't make a mistake about what he's saying. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You just need to back up to verse 9. Verse 9, you are not in the flesh, but where are you? In the spirit. Pay attention. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells where? In you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So, he plays around the words. He says, the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of God. In verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life. Spirit of life. Spirit of Christ. Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. Say praise the Lord. So he says in verse 10, if Christ is in you, then the Spirit is life. Alright? The Spirit is life because of righteousness. Look at verse 11. If the Spirit of Him, verse 11, the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Him. Okay, so Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, Spirit is life, Spirit of Him. Okay, so the pronouns are to show you unity. The same. Pronouns are to show you that when you say the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Him, the Spirit of Christ, you are talking about the same. Are you there? So, pay attention here now. Now, that verse 14, of course, because a whole number of people have read it for guidance, it hasn't let us see the import of what he said. If there's anything that robs us of the truth, it's when you pick a statement out of context. Context is king. Tell people at all times who think that Bible study is just get a hold of Greek words and Hebrew words. No, you can all the Greek words and Hebrew words and be very wrong. Because Hebrew words and Greek words are just words. They are not explanations in themselves. You know, it depends on what is being said in the context and the content of the letter. And so he says in verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. So, before that, verse 12 and 13 will naturally create a problem for you, but you shouldn't. Verse 12, after verse 11, then verse 12 says, therefore, brethren, because of this, because of what? What was the emphasis of 9, 10, and 11? Check it quickly. What was the emphasis of 9, 10, 11? No. You need to see it. Don't quickly look at me. If I ask a question, know that I require you to think. Look at what was the emphasis of 9, 10, 11? 9 says you are not in the flesh. Right? So, that's not the emphasis. There's something that is consistent in 9, 10, 11. Check it out. Huh? What the indwelling of the Spirit? That says, 9 says, Spirit is in you. 10 says, Christ is in you. The Spirit is in. And the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Then it says in 11, if the Spirit of Him that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then he emphasizes the second time. What does it say? He that raised Christ from the dead shall what? Also quicken your by what? That doth what? So what is the emphasis there? Dwells in you. So dwells in you because of this. So the moment you think 12 and 13 is your action, you lose everything he was saying. If the indwelling is not an action, is not an activity of yours, then the therefore can't be. Therefore, come on, are you there? Therefore what? Because the Spirit of God dwells in you, we are debtors, not. This is bad grammar. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors. That's the right word. Because the word debtors there means sinners. Brethren, we are sinners. Come on, the word debtors there means sinners. Those who owe. So hold this on before we get there. He said, therefore, brethren, that's the word edelphos. By saying brethren, he says, well, but we have the same background, we have the same heritage, brethren. So look at what we get. 12. We are debtors. The word debtors there is a word ophelites. O-P-H-E-I-L-E-T-S. O-P-H-E-I-L-E-T-S. Now, the word debtors means to owe, to have an obligation to pay. Romans 1:14. This Paul, in the same letter. Romans 1:14. Romans 1:14. Romans 1:14. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. That is, I owe them an obligation. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Romans 15:27, same word. He says, debtors they are, that's the Gentile nation to the Jews. Debtors they are, they are debtors, they owe them. Okay. Galatians 5:3. Will make sense now. Where he said virtually the same thing. That he's a debtor to the whole law. It means that you owe money. You have an obligation. You owe. So we are not owing. We are not debtors to the flesh. We do not owe the flesh. Praise the Lord. Okay. We do not owe the flesh. Okay. To live after the flesh. Terrible word now. That says that we do not owe the flesh to live after the flesh. The word live there means to exist. Because he had told you in 9, we are not where? We are not where? Now, that's not referring to conduct. That refers to nature. We are not in the flesh. So we are not debtors. Romans 8:12. We are not in the flesh. We are not debtors. We don't owe the flesh because we are not in the flesh. We're not debtors to live. The word live there means to exist. Zaho. To exist. Why did he say that? Because he just told you we are not in the flesh. So we are not debtors to live after the flesh because we are not in the flesh. Why are we not debtors? Because the Spirit of God lives in us. Is it making sense? Very good. So, the next thing. So, flesh is the word. Flesh is not body. So, verse 13. For. Now, for isn't giving you a condition to live. No. For explains. 13 explains 12. That is, you are a child of God. If I say, you are a child of God. So why am I a child of God? Oh, because he has his spirit in you. Don't say, to be a child of God, go and get his spirit in you. Doesn't make sense. You're a child of God because you have the Spirit in you. So he said, for, pay attention now, for if you live or exist after the flesh, you shall die. If you exist after the flesh, you shall die. The word shall there is quite a different word. It is the word melo, which proposes events that will happen. Events that will happen. Melo, M-E-L-L-O. It refers to certain events. That this will happen if you are in the flesh. You shall die. This will happen. But if you, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. If you, through the Spirit, mortify, to mortify refers to kill or to make to die. And you see that Paul used the same word here. The word there is apotnesko, A-P-O-T-H-N-E-S-K-O. A-P-O-T-H-N-E-S-K-O. Which he had used in Romans 6 and 10. For in that he died unto sin once. In that he lives unto God. Romans 6:10. So Romans 6:10 refers to Christ's work for us. Romans 6:10. Romans 6:2. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Do those verses explain itself? Romans 6:2, Romans 6:10 explains Romans 8:13. We are dead to sin by what Christ has done. We cannot live in it anymore. So, in other words, he's saying to you, pay attention, that if you through, alright, the flesh, I'm coming somewhere, it's going to make sense to you, modify the things of the body usually. On the face of it, he's telling you to use the Spirit. How can you use the Spirit to do that? If you through the Spirit, again, let's get to business. The Spirit is referring to there is the Spirit an activity or an indwelling? Huh? Okay. So can we say through the indwelling of the Spirit? Does it make sense? Is it consistent now? Okay, we'll see that. So that means the death he's talking about is not what happens every time, because he says, how can you that are dead? Romans 6:2, Romans 6:10, is that you died once. Praise the Lord. Get that? One. So, go back again now. Modify the deeds of the body. The word deeds there is the word praxis. P-R-A-X-I-S. Which refers to functions. It's a noun. Used 6 times. Function. That is the regular activities of the body you shall leave. Now, it's a bit interesting because when you say modify the deeds of the body, it can be the physical body. Because if you kill the functions of your physical body, there's nowhere the Spirit is anymore. I mean, you are RIP. So if you kill the functions of the body, it can't be the functions of your physical body. Because it has to be the body of the flesh. Because what he's referring to there is the flesh. What you can call the old man. Look at Romans 6:6. Many times we talk about the body. Sometimes we don't know that the body is talking about, it's not the physical body. There's nothing evil about the physical body. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin, does it make sense? Might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. What's the body of sin? Your physical body, don't forget the word soma, means person, substance, alright? Existence of something. So when we say soma, when we say body of Christ, You're not talking about the physical body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? So, body will be person, just like he said, Jesus bore our sins on his own body. And people assume that what he's saying is that on his physical body. He can't bear our sins on his physical body. On his own, of his own self. So when you say body there, you mean his person. 1 Peter 2:24. Or his own body. So when you say the body of sin, that will be the person of sin, which is the old man. Old man. Romans 6:6. Are you there? Are you there? Come on, are you there? Romans 6:6. The old man. Can we say the old person? Okay. The old man, the body of sin, is crucified. So, but by saying this, he says that the deeds, that means the practices of the old man are dead. Just like we're going to get to that Galatians 5:24. Same thing. Crucified, the affections and lost. That's the praxis. The praxis, the functions. That's what it means. You find the word praxis in Romans 12:4. Romans 12:4, offices. Romans 12:4, functions. And Colossians 3:9. Pay attention. And so he says dead, which is Colossians 3:9. So modified, dead. So in other words, he's saying to you, these are explanatory words. That is, death and life, there are adjectives. Don't think he's saying death and life the way we use death and life. So in other words, there is, help me out now, there's a living dead and there's a dead living. See what I mean? The believer is dead. Dead to what? Sin. Alive to God. So he's living dead. And there is a living dead who is dead in sin and is alive in the flesh. Do you understand what I'm saying? The believer is dead. What do you mean dead? He's an old man. Dead to the flesh. Alive unto God. So you can call him dead to sin. And alive unto God. And then you say, the unbeliever is alive to sin and dead to God. So he's living in death. You understand what I'm saying? Very good. That's why I said, if we do not, if we, he says, we're not debtors, debtors to the flesh to live. Is that life, life or death? Huh? We're not debtors to the flesh to live. Can you imagine? The flesh is dead. Say, debtors to the flesh to live. But we'll modify the deeds of the body and live. Two kinds of life. Praise the Lord. Are you following this now? So the body there will have to be the body of sin. So that will be life in the death of the old man. Just like Ephesians 2:1. You are still quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, you'll assume that what he meant was you were buried somewhere and it's R.I.P. But it says, who walked? Dead, but walking. According to the cause of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience, among whom we had our conversations as dead men. Are you still out there? So we, he's not referring to not existing, is adjective for two kinds of life. A dead life and a living life. Allow me to say that. Does it make sense to you? Alright, good. So, just like the word flesh there is not your physical body, it refers to a nature, an existence outside the Spirit of God. That which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. But that which is born of the flesh is spiritual. Come on. So, get that right. So he says in 14, for as many as are what? Led by the Spirit. What did he tell you the Spirit does? The Spirit modifies the flesh. So be led by the Spirit of God there is the work of the Spirit that makes me alive unto God and dead to sin. So Romans 13. The modifying of the body there is that the leading of the Spirit. Ask the question. Is the modifying of the body or the deeds of the body, Romans 8:13, is that being led by the Spirit? Okay, so that was carried out by who? The Spirit. So he's not asking you to modify something. He's actually telling you the Spirit modified the deeds of the body. Pay attention to something. No, don't forget the word led is the word ago. A-G-O. It means to be led away, to be taken from to, to be carried by. It's not referring to direction yet, even though there's direction in it. So, what is the proof that we are the sons of God? The Spirit of God is in us. And what is the effect of that? He has modified or killed, crucified the deeds of the old man. Who did that? The Spirit. Now, there'll be the challenge of the word you. Now, the word you is silent. The word you is silent. Many times in the grammar, you decide who is talking about. So, King James chose you. Even though it just says, Spirit, modify the deeds of the body. Through the Spirit, modify the deeds of the body. That's all the original says. So you can say, he, or you, or through the Spirit, the deeds of the body are modified. But by using you, the King James misled us. It will appear like the King James is saying, take the Spirit and modify the deeds of the body. That means you are not born again yet. Whereas, it is the Spirit that modifies the deeds of the body for us. Come on guys, are you following? So, because from verse 9, in fact from verse 2 till verse 10, there was no activity of ours. What we read will be the result of what the Spirit of God has done. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the work of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ as what? Set us free. That's not your job. That's what you receive. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Again, that's his work, not yours. If the Spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. See, consistently, whose work are we talking about? The Spirit. So by using ye, in 13, we are upset. Because they probably assumed that because he said, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh, to live after the flesh. See that? For if you live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you should die. But the Spirit modifies the deeds of the body and you shall live. You get it now? You get it now? So the you cannot be the modifying of the deeds of the body. The you has to be you that is alive. Come and see that if you understand this. Let me see if you understand that. So you just intelligently look at what he's saying. So what is the focus there? What the Spirit does. And what we became. Are you still there? For as many that are sons of God, lead the Spirit. No. As many that are led are sons. Led where? Taken from the flesh. Praise God. The act of taking you from the flesh is a new birth. Is that right? Is that right? The act of taking you from the flesh is a modifying of the deeds of the body. Is that right? The act of taking you from the flesh is the indwelling of the Spirit. Am I right? The act of taking you from the flesh is Christ in you. Are we right? So the act of taking you from the flesh is that you are a son of God. Does it make sense now? Alright, very good. So, 14. So, that is the Spirit's work. You are the product. You are the son of God. 15. What did we do? For we have received not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of adoption. Adoption. Thereby we cry, Abba, Father. Adoption. You know, right here, adoption in a normal language, it means someone is not your child. Then you go to the orphanage or somewhere, and then you say, "This is not my child, but let's legally adopt this boy or this girl." Then stuff like that. That's the way we reason the word adoption. But no. The word adoption has two words here. You have the word huthesia. We have huthesia. Huthesia. Now huthesia is split into two words, a compound word. You have the word huios. We shouldn't have a problem. Huios means son. Okay? And then the word, the second word is titemi. T-I-T-H-E-M-I. It means to place us, to stand us, to place us, to stand us, to place us, to stand us, or better still, to establish. Now, if you had just used adoption, when you say adoption, there must be the adoption. Illegal? He said, by war. Then he says, we have not received the spirit of bondage. Then he says, the spirit of what? Huh? What? The spirit establishing son. Okay, so by saying the Spirit establishing sons, can we twist it a little bit and say the Spirit giving birth to sons? Does it make sense? Huh? Because by saying Spirit, you introduce something natural. The Spirit establishing you as a son. Huthesia. Don't forget the word Huios and Titemi. The Spirit establishing you as a son. You're going to see something shortly. You'll find the same word that is here used in Romans 8:23, the adoption of sons, referring to the redemption of the body. Okay, which means that the redemption of the body is the fullness of that adoption, where the physical body receives what you call the manifestation of the sons of God. When you say manifestation of the sons of God, it means that the physical body reflects the spirit that we have. He's not referring to manifesting in government or manifesting in sports, manifesting like something else, maybe a demon that we're just talking about. Manifesting, that is a full disclosure of our sonship in the body. Romans 8:23. Romans 9:4 talks about Israel, the adoption, to whom be the adoption. Ephesians 1:5, to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:5 is interesting. He says the adoption of children, he uses the word sons two times. Huthesia of sons by Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:5. Then Galatians 4:5. The spirit of adoption. Galatians 4:5. So, Obviously, Romans 8:15 is a new birth. The Spirit establishing us as sons. That's my birth. 16. Says, the Spirit itself, now which Spirit now? The Spirit of life in Christ, come on. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Him, the Spirit of adoption. Huh? Okay. The Spirit itself beareth witness, just one word, beareth witness with our spirit, which is the word sumaterio, S-U-M-M-A-T-E-R-U-O, a joint witness, that we are the sons of God. So, he says to us that the Spirit's Son is you. The Spirit's Son is you. Or, the Spirit of God is you. Or the Spirit of the Son, because he says, we have received the Spirit of adoption, thereby we cry, Abba Father. We cry, Abba Father. So, if you cry, Abba Father, that means you are the Spirit of adoption. You are that adoption. Because you can't say Abba Father if you are not the adoption. You just say, the Spirit, you just say, well, we thank the Lord for His grace. But He says, no, you cry Abba Father. Showing that you are the work He had been talking about since. You cry, Abba Father. We cry, Abba Father. No, we cry, Abba Father. Hallelujah be. No, that's what we're talking about here. That's a good song. So, by using the word Abba Father there, Paul is establishing the Spirit's witness. In other words, the Spirit's witness is the witness of Christ. What does Christ say? He says, Father, and we have the same witness. The same witness. The same witness. That is, there is a natural recognition of God in our spirit. A natural recognition of God. Our spirit doesn't recognize Him as El Shaddai, doesn't recognize Him as all the names. The Spirit's witness, which is Romans 8:16, that bears witness. That witness is Father. Because that already shows you that what he was talking about from 14 to 16 is a new birth. So, in other words, we are the work of the Spirit. We, our Spirit, is the work of the Spirit. We are the work of the Spirit. Either we look at it. Look at Galatians 4:5. By the way, what was it? When? Oh, yeah. Galatians 4:5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The adoption. Again, just like Ephesians 1:5. Sons is repeated two times. Hues, hoios, taitemi, hoios. That is, adoption of sons, sons. Adoption of sons. So the emphasis. Sorry, that's it. Established sons of sons. Emphasis is what? Sons. That's some funny stuff in verse 6. Wherefore, no, verse 6. Because you are sons, then God now sent for the spirit of His Son. How can I say because you are sons? You are already sons. They now stand for the spirit of His Son. What does that mean? That's bad arrangement. Syntax challenge there. Okay? So let's look at it. What does it mean? Now, of course, the word here is otai, H-O-T-I, and because you're sons, no, so that you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, so that you are sons, not that because you're sons. You get it? So that you are sons. Bad language, bad, sorry, very old English. So that you are sons, so that you become sons. God sent forth the Spirit of His Son, not that because you are sons. Because if you are a son, then another spirit means you alone become sons. So that you are sons, He sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. So, man will say, safely so, has the Spirit of the Son. This very life, so the very Spirit of the Son. And so you say, the Spirit of the Son is the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit. So, what we have been reading so far as the Spirit is the Spirit of the Son. I hope that's clear. Huh? Very good. Look at Galatians 5. Quickly, let me show you one more. Galatians 5, 21. Envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They which do such things. That's interesting. Now he picks his words here. When he says they which do, he takes the word praso, which is a verb. P-R-A-S-S-O. Different from poio. Poio is actions. P-O-I-E-O. Where you have actions. To do, also a verb. So by the time he says, they which do, okay, we have a challenge in there. Because it will mean the moment, because they which do, and then what he's talking about is not the regular word for here, which means the act. So, when I say they, again, you need to realize the they. They sometimes doesn't refer to persons. Sometimes it does. Because he uses the word two things now. Otai, H-O-T-I, or H-O, which can be sins or that, okay? Let's say they or that. Is he describing persons here, or is he describing the flesh? That's the question. Was he describing people or describing the flesh? Huh? That's the question. Was he describing people or the flesh? Okay. Let's throw that in. Let's say, that which does, okay, or we can say, has the capability of, which is why praso is different from poheo, that which has the capability of these things, which is not just an action, it talks of something that resides somewhere, something that resides there. So, that which resides in this thing, because pay attention now, shall not inherit. Now again, when you hear inherit, your mind shall never go to a prize. Inherit doesn't mean a prize. Oh, shall not inherit a prize. No. You don't inherit a prize. You work for a prize. The word inherit there already shows you something different. Now, pay attention now. I ask a question. If we change they to that, or they which do those things. Paul said, that which has the capacity for this thing, which is the word praso, which is a verb, that which does those things, does it flow with verse 19? Come on. Walk in the Spirit, so you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Come on. Are you there? Walk in the Spirit. Look at 17. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill what? Oh, that's what I'm quoting. So 16, pardon me. For the flesh lust against the Spirit. Is it describing individuals there? No. Alright, good. And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other. So that you can do the things that you will. But if you be led by the Spirit. Now, the Spirit, there's a nature. You are on a law. Now, led by the Spirit, is it guidance or the new birth? Very fine. Look at 25. So, for the works of the flesh are manifest. The works of what? So, he describes the work of the flesh. Is the works of the flesh the works of your body or the works of the old man crucified with Christ? So, he says, and such like as which I tell you before, and I've told you in time past 21, that they, you people, that doesn't make sense. Huh? Because he's talking about the flesh. Okay, that which does such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Come on. Are we following? So, imagine that the word here is the word kleronomio. K-L-E-R-O-N-O-M-E-O. Kleronomio. Kleronomio will be what? You get kleronomio from kleronomos. K-L-E-R-O-N-O-M-O-S. It means a distribution. Or a lot. Or a portion. To have a portion. So, if I say, that which does those things has no place in the kingdom of God. I'm saying everything I've listed here cannot be found where? Huh? Hey. Cannot be found where? In the kingdom of God. But that's opposite now. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, is that the kingdom of God? Huh? It's 22 the kingdom of God. So, the fruit of the Spirit is what? It mentions 9 of them. 9. Now, what's it? The fruit of the Spirit is the word kapos. K-A-R-P-O-S. Which refers to conception. So, what's it? The fruit of the Spirit. Now, when I say the Spirit, again, all I need to do is to just go back and listen to him talk about the Spirit. Galatians 3:2. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfected in the flesh? So, whatever he's describing right here, does the born again man have what he's saying? Verse 22. Good. In Galatians 3:14. Look at it now. 3:14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, those that receive the promised Spirit through faith. So the Spirit is received by faith, right? Come on, talk to me. Talk to me, guys. Huh? Well, Galatians again. Now, Galatians
4,
what we read earlier on, verse 5. Okay? God, okay, the spirit of what? Adoption. The adoption of what? Son. Then verse 6. So that you become sons, right? God sent forth what? The spirit of his son. So it therefore flows that chapter 5, verse 22 is describing what you received. So chapter 5, 19 is telling you what is not in what you received. Come on. Right? Chapter 5, 19, 20, 21 is describing what cannot be found in the promised spirit. Hey, that this cannot be found in the kingdom of God. This cannot be found in the spirit. It's not referring to conduct yet. It's still describing two kinds of nature. Come on, people. Am I communicating? So, the fruit of the spirit, kapos is used when there's a conception and a birth. Kapos, the fruit of the womb. So, the fruit of the spirit, can we say, this is what is in the new birth? Huh? So what is in the new birth? Come on, let's take it together now. What's in the new birth? Against such there is, look at verse 18. You are not under what? Why? Against such there is no law. In other words, 18 and 23, are they saying the same thing? So, it's verse 22, being led by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, one and the same. Come on. Good. So, it's the old man, verse 19 to 21. It's the old man, the flesh. Huh? Very good. So, is the spirit or the fruit of the spirit the new birth? Okay, good. So, was it they that do such things, that which does cannot be what? Found, has no lot, no place in the spirit. This is what you can find in the spirit. That is, 19 to 21 cannot be found in the promised spirit. It is making sense now. Okay, so, that is, pay attention now, 19 to 21 is outside the spirit. 22 to 23 will be found where? In the new birth. Come on, are we together here? So, 24 is about to make sense. 24 now says, let's say 24 now. 24 explains itself. 24, let's go. They that are Christ have, so they have. Very good. Crucified. Now, another terrible, the flesh with the lust and the affections is not proper explanation because that will mean you did something. No. By using a crucified, it refers to what Christ has done. Alright? Remember, we started by saying, it is the Spirit that modifies the deeds of the old man. So, they that are Christ cannot be persons. They that are Christ are the nine things he just described. The Spirit. See that? Crucified, because it's the work of Christ. Crucified, the lost. Now look at the word crucified quickly. Let's see it again. It's the word staruo, S-T-A-R-U-O. It means to kill. S-T-A-U, sorry, come on. S-T-A-R. What's come on? S-T-A-U. R-U-U-O. R-U-U-O. S-T-A-U. What is it? Where is Tosin? Come and say R for me. R. Oh, Satan, you can help me. Pastor, I can help you. R-U. When they say R, you know it's R. R. So the R is a R. R-U-O.
R-U-O. S-T-A-U-R-U-O. It actually means to kill. Every time Paul used this, he used it for Christ's work. Galatians 3:1. Evidently crucified from the scripture. Galatians 3:1. Galatians 6:14. Look at this. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, praise God, are you seeing it? By whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. By whom? So it's not your work, it's his work. Now the word Stavro is taken from the word cross. Cross of Christ. Same thing here. Cross, crucified. Galatians 5:11. Then is the offense of the cross seized. Christ's cross. So, who crucified the flesh? Christ's work. It's Christ's work. What he has done, the result of it is love, gentleness, peace. So 24. They that have Christ have crucified, or who crucified, pay attention, the flesh with the affections and love. Is this similar to Romans 8:13? Huh? Is it similar to Romans 8:12 and 13? Come on. Is it similar to Romans 8:12 and 13? We through the Spirit, modify the deeds of the body. Right? And we live. So, it says, if we live in the Spirit, is that correct? If we live, that is, if we exist in the Spirit, come and say, if we exist in the fruit of the Spirit, right? How do we exist in the fruit of the Spirit? Is that our work or the Spirit's work? Huh? Because he says, receive you the Spirit, Galatians 3:2. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the Lord. No, that's 3:4. No, that's 3:3. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the Lord by hearing of faith. Galatians 3:14. Receive the promise of the Spirit. So we receive. So that means the moment a man receives the promise of the Spirit, he has the fruit of the Spirit. Right? And this is the crucifixion of the flesh. Is that right? Is that right? So, you cannot find everything mentioned in 19 to 21 in the Spirit. Can you? Huh? Come on, can you? So we live in the Spirit. Is that a new birth? Is living in the Spirit there the new birth? Galatians 5:24. Is that a new, so 25. Is that a new birth? Is that a new birth? Let us therefore what? Huh? Come on, talk to me. What? Walk. So that means the living there is different from the walking. The living there is the new birth. Come on. So the walking there now refers to what? The conduct. Now, Paul is quite particular there. Usually he uses the word peripatio for walk. But that's not what he uses here. Peripatio is when you, that's P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E-O. Peripatio means to walk after a pattern, to walk after, you know, to conduct yourself. But he's using a different word here. He uses the word stoicheo. S-T-O-I-C-H-E-O. They mean the same thing, but there's a slight difference. Whenever you say stoicheo, there must be a pattern. That is, something has been done. Stoicheo. S-T-O-I-S-C-H-E-O. While peripatio is a little bit undefined, stoicheo is defined. I must refer to something particular that has been done or has been said. So what is it referring to? Let's get back to where the word stoicheo has been used by Paul. Romans 4:12. Abraham. Abraham. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of circumcision only, but also who walk in the steps, singular, of that faith. This is just one. Abraham believed God. One thing. That faith. The step. Not steps, actually. Because just one. Abraham believed in the Lord. So, believe is what he said. One. Stoicheo. So there must be a pattern that you are following. There you have Galatians 6:16. As many as walk according to this rule, what's the rule? 15. But a new creature. This rule. So the word walk is again the word stoicheo. This rule or order. Philippians 3:16. Let us walk by the same rule. Why? He says in verse 15, therefore as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If anything be, ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. So when you use the word stoicheo, you are particular about an order. So, if you get back Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, can we say if we are born of the Spirit, same thing? Huh? Okay? Let us also walk. Let us take the pattern of the Spirit. In other words, we're born with a pattern. Let us take the pattern of the Spirit. So the pattern is actually our spirit. So in the new birth comes the capacity to do everything. The capacity is in there. You don't become more loving or more patient. You don't become more because the Spirit of God is your nature. Your nature is Galatians 5:20. So, let us walk after this. Definitely. That's why you'll discover that what he mentioned in Galatians 5:22 is actually love. Because what he's talking about is the love. Let us walk in love. Praise God. Let us walk where? In love. Glory to you. Let's walk in love. Look at it, you see short. Go to Galatians 5:13. Let us walk in love. That's why I said it's one step he's talking about. This rule, Galatians 5:13. Let's go, because that's how we started the discussion. Let's go together. For brethren, we are called unto liberty. Only just before occasion to the flesh, no. But by what? Love. 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word.
Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you should not be consumed of one another. Then this I say, walk where? See that the rule is one? Can you see it? Come on, go to chapter 6 now. Chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Let me explain that to you. He's not saying if a believer sins, you restore him. Then we'll restore each other every day. Overtaken in a fault means you are caught. Caught in a fault. Everybody sees it. And you know, we, brethren, you know, we say, let them that are spiritual, that is, they're not given to blogs. So I just want to share this with you. You're only one I'm telling. This is between you and I. So let them that are spiritual. Then they don't go, ha! You hear, ha! The person is disqualified. Say, hey, Chai! Don't, just take him out of the equation. He's given to hypocrisy. Let them that are spiritual restore. No. Not restore to God as who? Vice mediator? No. He had just said, if you bite one another, you will devour one another. So, in other words, if someone is caught in a sin, which is what he was dealing with, the law says, Shup. He says, no. We serve one another with love. So what do you do? You restore him to what? You restore him with the brethren. That's what he's saying. Now, this has nothing to do with doctrinal error. The guy quoted in Galatians 6:1, he says, you know, the Bible says, let's calm down. Oh, this, well, I know they are preaching false doctrine. But Galatians 6:1 says, now we need to restore you too. We need to restore you first. Because I mean, restore your brains. If any is overtaken in a paraptoma, in a fall, that is, we see it, restore him. Then he says what? In the spirit of what? Huh? Where is the spirit of meekness? In the born again human spirit. Consider thyself lest thou be tempted. Tempted to do what? Tempted to devour. Because verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? He just told you earlier, it's love. So can you see, that's where he ended that discussion. Are you still there? Come on, people. So what he had been talking about is how to treat the brethren. And he's saying that, so these things that you do are not found in the kingdom of God or in the born again human spirit. The born again human spirit will restore. The born again human spirit, he says, you walk. Walk in love. Praise God. Is it clear to us? Is it clear to us? Very good. You walk in love. So the spirit is the pattern, the spirit is the nature, the spirit is what we have. Alright? So, come on, is this clear? Is this clear? So, those that do those things, no. That's not me. Yeah, because if he says that, then he won't have Galatians 6:1. That won't be a brethren. Praise God. So he said, if you do this, if you act this way, you are not walking in your nature. Praise God. You're not walking in your nature. So, the spirit is our nature. Praise God. Okay, let me get back. So, Galatians 5, come on guys, 21. Can we say, that which does those things? Would that be correct? Than they. Huh? Does it make better sense? Someone asked me, when am I coming out of the Bible verse? I don't know. I'm not thinking about it. I used to want to do it several years ago, maybe like 20 years ago, but I'm losing the enthusiasm every hour. Pray for me. But you understand now, you see, that by replacing, by picking day over that, that misled many people. Come on. You get it? That misled folks. Because you say, inherit means is not found as a lot. The word kleronomos means a lot, a distribution. You get it? A lot, a portion. It's not saying, shall not gain. Or shall not win the kingdom of God. By using kleronomos, it means something allotted to you. A portion. Praise God. How do you apportion that? When I was in secondary school, I went to a portion. You know, you don't work for it. You work for a portion? No, you just get it. I took some folks to government college and I said, I remember my first portion. Like the back of my head. That's it. Hey! You guys come here. Come on. You're good. Well, so you have to feel down. Stay here. Yeah, just so stand here. Don't move. Have you heard this one? Oh, how's this one? There it is. You see that tree? Not this one, the one behind. Yeah. So level it. I want to see my teeth. Second day of school. I just finished a cup of Bonvita. Enough strength. Sabina. That is my portion. So, shall not have a portion, praise God, or does not have a portion in the kingdom of God. That this one has no part in the kingdom of God. That is, you can find lying, stealing in the spirit. Does it make sense now? You cannot find adultery, fornication, murder, envy. It can be found where? In the spirit. Let me see how you understand it now. Good. So that is, when you do those things, you are not walking in the spirit. That's what he's saying. Does it make sense? Right. So what was the end point of that? The end point of that is, he says, both the one who lies, the one who steals, is all wrong. They're not in the spirit, they're in the flesh. And the one who divorces a brethren, allow me to use brethren for plural, a brethren, they are not found where? In the spirit. Amen. So, in other words, the spirit is our nature. Does it make sense? Okay. Always see it from that point of view. My nature. And then look at 1 Corinthians 12:7. I'm switching quickly. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. The manifestation. Explain this to you earlier. In verse 4, it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. I remember I told you that the word gift was not used in plural. Can you remember it? So, the context determines the plural. The word gifts had no plural. It's just the word charisma. So you determine whether it's plural or singular. But by using the word diversities, which is diaresis, it means different, then it means we must have gifts, not gifts. Hello? Are you there? Okay. So, it simply means this, and I'm about to alter something I said in this series, and alter it, you know, simply so, when he says, the gift of healing. We will have to ask whether it is singular or plural, because on the face of it, that's 1 Corinthians 12:9, there is no plural to charisma. So, we may have to ask now, what is it plural or singular? We'll check that later on. Come on. So, he says, there are diversity. So by the time he says diversity of up, that means the gift must be what? Plural. But the same spirit. Then in verse 5, he says there are diversity again, diverses of ministries. And then he says the same Lord. Then verse 6, there are diverse of operations. He's the same God who worketh all in all. So I want to check something quickly here. So we have spirits, sorry, gifts, plural, because they are diversities, right? Come on. Okay. We have ministries. Again, the ministry of what? The ministry of the gifts. So that means the gifts walk through what? They walk through ministering. Open your ears well. Now 1 Corinthians 14:32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Again, the King James lends credence to plural because he used prophet in the plural. The spirits of the prophet, even though it's just pneuma, the spirits of the prophet are subject to the prophet. So we must look at it. Is it plural or singular? Now when I say the spirit of the prophets are subject. The word subject simply means subject. It means to be submissive to be under. Hupotasso. To be under, to be submissive to. That's it. No, hupotasso. It's not hupotasso. Now, quickly look at where he uses the same word, needs to make sense. Verse 34. For it is not permitted, he says, the women should keep silence in the churches. For it's not permitted for them to speak. That includes prayer. Don't pray. Don't even think. So, why are you not singing in the church? Say, why are you not singing? Because you mustn't even answer. Why are you not singing? Oh, bless you. Praise the Lord. So what they come to do? They're permitted to see. Hallelujah. Oh, wait. So it says, but to be under obedience, the same word obedience. 1 Corinthians 15:27. He had put all things under his feet. For then he said, all things are put under him. It is manifest that he's accepted, which he put under him. Right? Verse 28. And when all things shall be subdued under him, and then shall the Son also be subject unto him that put all things under him. He says, under. So the word is under. 1 Corinthians 16:16. You submit yourselves unto such. Under. The woman is under the man. In marriage, praise God. In marriage, so I tell you, look, woman, ask questions. You can love a man and love the way he does everything, but can you be under this guy? I have the fruit of the spirit, I can be under anybody. I would like to write a book about you at the end of your life. Why did you say that? What's the title? The Woman Who Saw Tomorrow. You ever seen The Man Who Saw Tomorrow? Nostradamus? You'll be Mr. Damas. Is that you? I can be on anybody. Praise God. Anybody? You mean anybody? Anybody. You mean the Romans 16, 17 brethren? Anybody. So Thessalonians 3:10 guy, yeah, anybody. 1 Corinthians 5:5 guy, anybody. You are Christ, the Son of a living. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but me. How did I get into all this? Come on, get back here. Come on, be saved. So the spirits of the prophet are under the prophet.
What does it mean? There you say, maybe there's someone in, the church. Not wrong anyway. Someone in the church, she's making a yahoo, yahoo, yahoo. You say, calm down. Amen. Peace, peace. Don't say that. Like, which is not out of place because some guys are in like storms. You say, peace. Peace be still. Peace be. You know, particularly those people who have learned the Holy Ghost from some book that say good morning, good evening, and then you are just, you know, the Holy Ghost, they know just crying. And the keyboard is also weak and just go, like at a cemetery. You go, so get into intimacy with him, intimacy with him. Let him talk to you, you talk back to him. Spirit. Hello? How are you? You are having hallucinations. So I normally sit down and have a time with the Lord. I sit down and say, Lord, no. Where did you ever read that from? Which of the time did Jesus just say, Lord, Lord, Lord? Lord. Lord. I'm having a time with the Holy Spirit. Guys, you are into deep illusions and delusions of grandeur. You are hearing voices. You are listening to yourself. The Holy Spirit. And he was just talking to me and ministering to me. He said, son. How can you know who is talking to you when you can't even read the scriptures? You can't know. Tell the truth seriously. Are you not thankful you talk to yourself? It looks like God. You talking to yourself. You just said, I love you. I believe in you. Is that having some other words? You are the one I'm sending to Africa.
Well, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I'm going forth. I go forth. I go.
The very next day, let's go for evangelism. You see, you are under illusion. You say, go for evangelism. You say, go and preach. You say, to who? And you say, this is for talking to you. You read a book. The book is... You wake up and say, good morning, Holy Spirit, I love you. You need a boyfriend. Or girlfriend. Or husband or wife. That's what you need. So, quit that crap. Okay? Quit that crap. Alright? You got no jelly-like spirit within you. Say, Holy Spirit, don't. Come and see the move of the spirit inside. And he said, he's here now. Bros. Another speech which you have not received. Where were we? Where did he mention prophet? 1 Corinthians 12:5. There are diversities of what? Administrations. Ministry. Right? Come on. Ministries of what? Ministries of the gift. So, 1 Corinthians 12:28. God has set some in the church. Firstly apostles. Secondarily prophets. Ministry gifts. So, by saying, come on, the spirit of a prophet, what's he talking about? He had told you earlier, 1 Corinthians 14, if any speak in tongues, 27, 2, 3, let one interpret. 28, let him interpret, keep silence in the church, let him speak to himself unto God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. Speak what? The utterance gift.
Right? Come on. Would they speak by the gifts? Are they speaking by the gifts? Are they speaking by the gifts? 28. If any be revealed another, sit by, let the first holy speak. Give all prophesy and one by one, all men, let them all be comforted. The spirits of a prophet. Surah is subject, is under. In other words, the things and the activities of the ministry gifts are under the ministry. In other words, you are the one ministering these things. So the spirit of the prophet there will be the activity. That's why they use spirits in the plural. Is our subject. The activities or the gifts are ministered by men. That's why I can instruct you. That's what Paul is saying. That is, these gifts are under you. That's why I can instruct you. So I don't instruct the gift, I instruct the ministry. Is that clear? Is that clear? So, that is, the things of the Spirit are subject to who? The ministry gift. That's what he said. They are subject to the ministry gift. So, we have a responsibility, I'm rushing now, we have a responsibility of ministry. So, really, what we learn, what we are learning, apart from the information about the gifts in the Spirit, we're learning the ministry. We're learning the ministry. Or how the ministries function. That's what we're learning. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, he says, if I pray in this an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding isn't fruitful. Verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing also with the understanding. The two things are by the Spirit. I sing with the Spirit, by the Spirit. I sing with the understanding, by the Spirit. That two are functions of the Spirit. Not my mind. My mind is only tagged along. So I have a responsibility to sing in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit. I also have a responsibility to pray in the understanding and to sing in the understanding. That every time I sing in the Spirit, I have that song in the understanding. I'm not looking for it. Every time I pray in the Spirit, I have that prayer in the understanding. Because they are from the same Spirit. The Spirit, or the capacity of the Spirit is to speak with tongues and to speak with the understanding. So every time I pray with the Spirit, I already have the understanding. So, it will now be my responsibility to know that the things of the prophet are under the prophet. So, it's left for me to exercise what I have. Every time I pray in the Spirit, I have that prayer in the understanding. Every time I speak in the Spirit, I speak in tongues. I have those same words in the understanding. Not that I get them, I already have them. I already have it. And that's why I'm closing now. He gives responsibility in verse 40, in verse 39. He says, forbid not to speak with tongues, covet to prophesy. Forbid not to speak with tongues, covet to prophesy. Seek to prophesy. And many instructions he gives his hours. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Don't do something uncomfortable to your spirit. 1 Timothy 4:14, neglect not the gift. That's charisma. Which can be plural or singular. 1 Timothy 4:14, depending on what's there. Neglect not the gift. 2 Timothy 1:6, stir up the gift. The word to stir up, I'm going to look at two words and I'm closing. Now, in 2 Timothy 1:6, it says stir up. The word stir up doesn't mean it's dead. The word stir up is one word used by Paul just once. I'll spell it for you. Anazopureo. A-N-A-Z-O-P-U-R-E-O. A-N-A-Z-O-P-U-R-E-O. It means to bring something outside. To fan it to flame. It's the same way you have fire, maybe in a charcoal wood. Then you fan it to come out. That means without fanning it, it's there. What you're doing is making it what? Obvious. You do not activate the gifts of the Spirit. It's an insult. What you do is that you demonstrate it.
or you allow its demonstration. You don't activate. You don't activate. There's no capacity that God gives that's not like God. It is there. Enabled by God. It's self-enabled. What you do is to make it obvious. Neglect not. Do not look away from it. Neglect not. Stir up. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19, it says, quench not the spirit. Quench not the spirit. The word quench not is the word smednumo. S-B-E-N-N-U-M-M-U-O. S-B-E-N-N-U-M-E-O. It means, pay attention, every time you use this word quench not, it means something's already on fire. It means don't stop it. God leads you. You are born. You can never pay attention. You can never be unlit. Quench not the spirit. That's referring to you. That's not quench not God. That's quench not the spirit. That's verse to you. That refers to the things of the spirit. Because he uses that word, pay attention, Matthew 12, 22. Matthew 12, 20. Matthew 25, 8. Mark 9, 44, 46 and 48. Matthew 12, 20. Matthew 25, 8. Mark 9, 44, 46 and 48. It always refers to what already is burning. Ephesians 6, 16. Fiery darts of the enemy. It's already there. It's already a fiery dart. Then Hebrews 11, 34. It's an ongoing work that you mustn't ignore. Quench not the spirit. An ongoing work you mustn't ignore. So we are enabled by God. Our activities don't activate what God has done. They only make it available for others to be blessed. Amen. Just like the walk in the spirit and also the things of the spirit. We should continue next week. Amen. You're blessed. Are you blessed?